SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And the weekend that pretty much had all you would expect under the circumstances, the racing that got conducted, particularly fairgrounds getting in under the wire, and a handful of other venues that continue to soldier on, giving the industry some hope and something to keep us distracted, to say the least. And then there was the somewhat predictable spots where cancellations and further decisions impacting what lies ahead. And most notably, yesterday morning, the news that the Dubai Racing Club had called off the World Cup. This after so many had traveled to Maidan, including a host of American connections that are now hustling to get home before means of travel end. Emirates will suspend flights apparently on the 25th, on Wednesday. And from what we can tell, Marcus Hirsch yesterday with the coverage and in communication with some of the horsemen that had not yet traveled, but then, of course, Louis Carvajal, for instance, with Imperial Hint already there. Lots of connections in terms of grooms and exercise riders, etc., that were already in Dubai. And apparently horses will not ship until April 4th, but that the American, at least from what Marcus reported yesterday, the American connections will be home over the next couple of days. A few were somewhat lucky in terms of not traveling themselves, including John and Tanya Terranova. They pushed their flight back to Wednesday. Jerry O'Dwyer literally landed in Dubai yesterday to find out that things had been called off, and he was coming immediately, flying right back. So for those that lost track of the American horses, and of course Doug O'Neill's string was already there, like Wild Man Jack, etc., but Shotsky, as mentioned, Peter Miller with a few different runners, and of course the Saudi exiters that went right over from Riyadh after the Saudi Cup, Tacitus and Mucho Gusto. So who else? United for Mandela. Mandela had a couple, actually. Tis a Magician as well was intended for the Derby. Miller had Wrecking Crew, Rowdy Yates, Asmussen, and four left for Doug O'Neill. So we'll keep tabs on how everybody is able to get back and get the horses back, making a bad situation not necessarily worse, but certainly this much more difficult. Aside from that news, the racing part, and we'll talk to Brad Cox, who nearly swept the card at Fairgrounds on Saturday, and at some point probably have to talk about how the card was even able to be executed, because on was it Friday night? Yeah, it was Friday night. The mayor's office had a proclamation and a mandate for staying in, for staying home. And there was apparently, you know, real 11th hour negotiations to let the fairgrounds go ahead and finish the season and get the big day in, and that's it. Meet is over. A similar scenario was hoping to be played out at Sam Houston, but unfortunately on Saturday night, a transformer cost them the lights and then cost them the card, and they were going to try to get that Texas Champions Night slate in, and then they were going to call off the last four cards of the meet. And they've now actually also tabled the quarter horse session. So lots of these kinds of ups and downs. And we're going to talk to Alex Waldrop later in the hour. Wanted Alex, if you haven't been to NTRA's website, they've got a comprehensive, you know, right on the front page, comprehensive support materials and resources for all aspects of the game when it comes to, you know, dealing with the pandemic. And I wanted Alex to discuss, you know, some of the support mechanisms that are moving into place, because one of the big questions we started to ask last week was, where are horses going to go with meets ending like fairgrounds? And the Louisiana Racing Commission, for all the recent discussion about how the state management systems don't work, well, the Louisiana Racing Commission, to their credit, demanding that Evangeline and Delta remain open to the horsemen and not force horsemen out. There's still some debate as to whether they'll be able to train at Evangeline and Delta. Boyd Gaming would like to, you know, I think just limit it to housing. But that decision's pending. And Fairgrounds announcing Saturday night or Sunday morning that horsemen can stay until April 11th for now. And we'll see if that date, you know, gets amended, and if there's a, you know, further allowances and accommodations that are made to help the horsemen here with the meet ending and having ended. So there's lots of those kinds of questions. Indiana, another place. Those on the grounds, at first, the inclination when they delayed the start of the meet, was that they were going to close the backside. Then, working with the HBPA, those that are on the grounds, they estimate there's a couple hundred horses. You know, most of these, most backstretches seemingly not wanting to take any incoming, not so much worried about the horses as they are obviously about the staff coming from other places. But with health protocols that have been, you know, put in place at you know, virtually everywhere that's operating. You would think they could still, you know, go ahead and screen, you know, if there's new people coming in. So anyway, those are the kinds of questions I want to hear from, some of the answers I want to hear from Alex Waldrop. And we'll continue the way everyone is dealing with the situation. And you can really tell how appreciative everybody is of the efforts at every level on the racetrack and with the, you know, the broadcast partners doing what they're doing, the TVG staff working from home, including, you know, Tom Amos, who's under quarantine and still asymptomatic. The horse playing public and casual fans that just enjoy, you know, something to look forward to when it comes to the horses. Everybody seems so understanding and supportive of, you know, what are going to be viewed as Herculean tasks. I mean, at this point. And of course, there's also widespread financial support that's springing up immediately. Want to ask Alex about that as well. And that's no surprise, of course, when all you have to do is think back to, well, even just in these last couple of weeks, Megan Fadlovich and Clovis Crane with the barn fire. And then you think about St. Louis Ray Downs. And I mean, if there's one thing we all appreciate from each other in the game is the generosity and the, you know, the mutual support, and that's coming through in spades. We'll head to the break, and we'll reach for Brad Cox. I mean, crazy to, you know, do too much of the results that are going to be basically summarized by the late pick three. And, you know, there wasn't really anything. I guess the one surprise, a couple of surprises, I suppose. You know, Wells Bayou, if Wells Bayou was going to win, he was going to go to the front and, you know, kind of lay out even fractions, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, and it, part of that might be the mile and 3/16, and, you know, riders thinking, okay, we're stretching out, you know, much further and so forth. And it just really became more or less a, you know, at least for the top three, a merry-go-round. I mean, it didn't really, Wells Bayou and NY Traffic and Modernist from outside. And NY Traffic and Modernist basically just set up shop and were chasing. Another aggressive, excellent ride from Florent Giroux, who's just had as great a first quarter of the year as rider can have. Major Fed ran very well. Very well. And ended up, you know, considering, you know, that the horses that were trying to rally, you know, had just kind of mundane fractions to chase. Rosario beaten four lengths, essentially. Five lengths. But another good effort from Major Fed. Enforceable also came from back to be fifth. The Philly race, Finite, no excuse at all, and Bonnie South, also under Giroux, of course. I mean, when she was ready to pounce, she just went right on by. And this is kind of a nice situation for Garrett O'Rourke and Judmont, given the tragedy associated with Taraz. This was Taraz's partner, stablemate, and she's going to, Bonnie South, going to carry on for Prince Khalid and Judmont, Munnings filly out of a Tappet mare. Factor this, that was my nice punch for the weekend. We've got that late pick four, which was nice, but factor this, almost 10 to 1. That was all right. And Bridgemahan is so good. We've said this so many times on this kind of horse. Now, of course, Secretary of War, you know, kind of wasn't involved as he was supposed to be, so that made the front end job a little easier. But that was all right, $21. By my standards, really strong and much the best in that New Orleans Classic. And Steve Margolis, I reached out to Steve. I owed him a call from earlier in the winter for Bob and Luana Lowe, the Declaration of War filly. She's on the warpath. How about Chantel Sutherland out photographing Joel Rosario? That was pretty wild. Lots to do. Let's take a break. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
What? Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one on this Monday. And ideally, I'd love to say that, oh, you know, we're looking forward to Florida Derby week. And in the best case scenario, we will have Florida Derby week. But it's just so hard, really, to know what continues, what gets paused. It's minute to minute, and everybody doing their best to adjust. Meanwhile, quite a few things, both happy and celebratory, and also sad and and difficult on the upside. And I'm going to reach out and certainly get Reeve McGahee on after he got his first win the other day. And that was terrific. How about Paco Lopez with 7 wins on Saturday? Those are the upbeats. Two very difficult pieces of news from the last several days. And for those that have seen it on social media, Alex Canchari, his brother Patrick, rider, Arizona based, in a terrible accident, and wishing the best. And Richard Grunder, really beautifully, if you didn't see the call, Grunder working in a tribute to Patrick for Alex, which was, I mean, really kind of touching. And that's making the rounds. And everybody has Patrick and Alex and the Cancharis on their mind. News came also of the passing of Bob Manfuso. And Manfuso, I can tell you, when we got him on, when Catherine Sophia was having her big season, and Manfuso and Katie Voss, names on the breeding line, so familiar. And it was a huge thrill for me to get Bob Manfuso on. Just a name that, you know, not just Mid-Atlantic racing, but, you know, really in the game and, you know, on a national basis, and you know, heavily invested in the Maryland Jockey Club, its history. And, you know, then with, you know, his breeding and racing and, you know, commercial, and it's a huge loss, and we'll certainly get appropriate tributes in for Bob Manfuso. And I do have his visit available. We'll put a link up to it. Kind of tough. 82, Bob Manfuso. I mentioned we're going to get a visit in with Brad Cox, and bring him shortly. And let me also give you a couple of other pieces here that you should know about. One more, there was one more passing. Kathy Dwyer, who was the simulcast director for years at Tampa, and then as of recently was with Premier Turf Club, and passed away over the weekend, just 65. She had a battle with cancer, but she was at Tampa for many years, 22 years. Hearts go out to Kathy's son and his family. Other news from Tampa too. That Florida Cup, you know, Tampa very quietly is getting the racing done and getting racing in. They're going to cancel the Florida Cup, you know, which is a spring, end of spring standard on their card after, you know, the other big day after Tampa Bay Derby Day. It's $660,000 worth of purses, and that's going to be allocated to the overnight account, which is smart. So that helps everybody. So good job, Peter Berube and Mrs. Thayer. And everybody. I also will mention Peter Urton yesterday announcing that Ashley Loves Sugar, the game and popular Gelding, 9 years old. He's been retired. So those were my little little weekend headlines that needed to be introduced this morning. Brad Cox needs to be introduced this morning because how about a training title at Fairgrounds this winter with the meet coming to a slightly abbreviated end, but the Florida Derby, the Louisiana Derby, the Fairgrounds Oaks, and the Munis, the last three races of the season, all for Brad and nice assortment of owners. He joins us now. Brad, congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
No, I appreciate it. Brad, obviously unique circumstance, and, you know, for starters, I don't think people realize how dicey it was that the day even got run on Saturday, given the Friday night news from the mayor's office in New Orleans. What was the, you know, what was the backdrop to getting the card in on Saturday?
I have no clue. It was, like you said, it was just kind of touch and go and hour to hour. And, you know, obviously after the mayor spoke on Friday night, just kind of, you know, really didn't know where we fell in line as far as being able to run. But we were able to get it in and, you know, thankful and fortunate that we were. And, you know, just something none of us have ever seen before, you know, just from a standpoint of just trying to conduct a business all around and just living our lives. It's just really insane right now.
Well, and of course, the advantage of having this card run as scheduled with so many of the horses and with these stakes and, you know, with the way in which you prepare them, it's mm-hmm. obviously it's going to be looked at as a luxury, given that, you know, there's so much uncertainty going forward. Let's talk about the three races, and we'll start with the feature. And, you know, the mile and 3/16, Brad, was an interesting wrinkle to the Louisiana Derby this year. And when you have a horse like Wells Bayou that you know you're going to send out on the lead, you know, you just wonder, you know, how much pressure there's going to be. What was the approach? Talk about what you were thinking going in and how it unfolded.
Well, we knew it was going to be a large field. You know, full field. I know there were some AEs and some horses that were wanting in that just were not going to get in due to earnings, not enough earnings. So, you know, with that being said, we our other option was obviously the Rebel. Both races were $1 million. One did, obviously, Louisiana Derby was worth double the points. That played a role as well. And this horse, we just kind of felt like, you know, he can get, you know, he obviously has speed. And we thought, you know, if he could be the, you know, clear off, you know, we would have a big shot. And just kind of handicapping the racer and just kind of, you know, looking at what was coming, you know, it kind of unfolded exactly the way we thought. We thought, you know, New York traffic, adding blinkers, Louis Saez was named a ride that I think changed to Joe Bravo, but we thought, you know, he would be our pressure. And if we could, you know, if we broke cleanly and sharp and could establish position early, you know, we could be on the lead. And, you know, we thought if anyone was going to contest us up front, it would be him. But Florent did a good job of establishing position early and just kind of clearing off going down the backside and just took a breather. And, you know, when I saw the 48, I thought, okay, well, he's had everything his own way and did it the right way. If he's what we think he is, and honestly, if he runs the way he's trained, he'll get there because this horse was really, really doing well. We hit the originally my plan was to keep him in Hot Springs and work him the morning of the Rebel, but just given the forecast with the weather, I decided to ship him and Bonnie South down middle of last week and have their final work at the Fairgrounds there on Saturday. They were actually slated to leave Sunday for the Fairgrounds. And like I said, with the wet weather, we just kind of thought I wanted to really get a good work in both of them. And given the track condition, I just kind of thought it would definitely be a little more comfortable working them on the Fairgrounds course. and it worked out for both of them as far as the ship, the work, the race.
Well, and Florent Giroux, who is really in recent vintage, has been really taking advantage of his opportunities with horses with speed. And, you know, here's the latest.
I taught him that. I'm just kidding.
Well, what did Doug? We'll check with Doug Bradar. We'll see what Doug says.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it's really, you know, it's really become notable, and you would think that would get infectious. You know, now, of course, you know, given where things are, Brad, the potential for the Arkansas Derby on May 2nd now, and assuming things stay the way they are, what's your thinking? Then we'll talk about the filly in a second, and you've got, you know, not just her, but British Idiom and et cetera to deal with when it comes to, you know, to the Oak side of things. But, you know, what's your thinking as to, you know, how you manage and adjust to the scenario as it's unfolding?
Well, you know, right now, I mean, you know, that's really the only option we have, it looks like right now, would be the Arkansas Derby. So, you know, it's to say it's under consideration, yes. We'll just kind of see. I mean, you know, obviously the ownership group, Lance and Clint Gassaway from Star City area, Arkansas, you know, they would love to run there. But, you know, we'll talk it over. I mean, those guys have been great to deal with. You know, since we bought this horse last year, they've let us manage, let us pick our spots. And, you know, it's worked out extremely well. Obviously, came in with Mattakit Stable and Wonder Stable bought in after his last race. And, you know, it was rewarding for them to get the victory on Saturday. So, you know, we'll all put our heads together. And, you know, it's like you said, I mean, it's just a lot of the unknown right now with, you know, who will exactly be racing 5-6 weeks from now. And, you know, what else will be out there? What other options will we have? And right now, that doesn't look like there's any. And, you know, do we have to run back that quick? I mean, you know, the goal is to get to, obviously, the Kentucky Derby. He's the leader in the clubhouse right now. And, you know, I know there's several hundred-point races left to run, or a few anyway, between the Florida Derby and Santa Anita Derby. But, you know, I think we just got to kind of somehow manage getting him to September 5th and in the best order we can, best shape we can, and how that goes. I mean, I think it's going to have a lot to do with what Churchill tells us over the next few weeks. So hopefully what the information they give us over the next few weeks is to the other point races they're going to offer leading up to the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
So, you know, just a lot of question marks right now. I am happy to report that the horse did come out of the race in really good order, and happy the way he looked yesterday and this morning. And he was tired. He was the guy I expected him to be. But, you know, he did rebound, you know, from a soundness standpoint, looked fantastic. So, you know, really seems to be, you know, doing well right now.
He, regarding him, he's a looking at Lucky out of a hard spun mare, and was $105,000 last year at the March OBS, and, you know, feeling, you know, obviously like a terrific purchase, with this now, grade two winner and, the placement in the Southwest, you know, the Fig came back moderate, but to some degree, you know, running the mile and 3/16, a little bit of a fish out of water distance in mid-March. So it for those that are, you know, Fig based and you know, look at the number and say, well, you know, low 90s buyer, I don't know how important it is at this time, especially because, you know, these are horses that are going to be very different than we usually sense by the time we get, you know, ideally to September. So it's just a nice win for everybody involved, and whatever happens next happens. Let's talk about the filly, because, you know, she was the alternate to the favorite, and everybody thought so. The nicest part of this story is that given Taraz and her the sadness associated with her. What a nice option this turns out to be for Judmont and for your barn.
Yeah, this was, a huge victory. And yeah, I mean, just meant a lot, really did. And, you know, with the way she showed up and ran last time in the allowance at Oakmont, I mean, it's like, man, this feels, we liked her in the beginning. I mean, we really did. And then, she ran short the one time there at Churchill and ran a respectable race, was beaten by some nice fillies. And then to come back in her first race going along there at the fairgrounds, she made a good account of herself, probably, and once again, beaten by a very nice filly. So, and then she beat a filly of ours. She Dares a Devil in her last start that we think
right.
a lot of. So she definitely stepped up and showed that day there at Oakmont that she was, obviously, it was kind of odd because, she was shipped to Oakmont to run in a maiden race. And we found out a week before this allowance race she won that she was no longer a maiden. So that's where that kind of played in. The idea was not to run those two fillies against each other, but, obviously it led to both fillies winning graded stakes, so we'll take it. But, a little bit of an odd turn of events with how we've placed her, point for a maiden race, having to opt out for the allowance given she was a winner. And I guess now she's, a winner of three in a row. And, obviously loves two turns and is a filly that's really just, really grown up over the last month or so. We did add the blinkers in her last start. I think it keeps her a little more focused during the race. Not necessarily from the standpoint of putting speed into her, if that makes any sense. I know most people, and I agree that most of the time blinkers put speed into a horse, but that really wasn't what we were looking for in her first start around two turns for him, so she just kind of was lost going up the backside and wasn't really paying attention. And then we added some small blinkers to her and actually took her out of company in some of her works and just had her work alone by herself, and she seemed to move forward doing that. So she's a nice filly. She ran a big figure there in February, and when we got the figure back, Garrett Rook sent me the rag number, and I thought, that this is a real figure for a three-year-old filly in her third start. Going into the race on Saturday, I thought, if she can get close to that figure, which I believe on the Ragusan was a 9 3/4 she received at Oakland, I thought, she's a player today, or on Saturday, she would be a player in the race. And the only thing I asked for was, just relax, just save some ground around the first turn, hopefully you get a pace to run it. We did. When I saw the 47 and changed going up the backside, I thought, these things could back up front, and some of them did. And, she ran a big race. I was very proud of her.
Well, you mentioned She Dares the Devil, who, of course, the winner at Oaklawn and a winner, I thought, impressively, the way she split horses. Between the two of them and Bonnie South, She Dares the Devil and British Idiom, you certainly are flush at this point, as we head toward April. What that's going to mean when we head to September is a different story. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, like I said, it's just uncharted territory, and we just have to, see how things play out over the next few months.
The fantasy, go ahead and point toward the fantasy with her? I mean, you just go on at this point?
I'll talk to Garrett, he'll get with Prince Khaled, and, it'll ultimately be, the filly did come out of the race in great shape, very pleased with how she come out. But, I think those guys are, now that she's a grade two winner, obviously the goal moving forward is obviously the Kentucky Oaks. But, we'll talk it over with them. I mean, hey, look, we have two other fillies that that are pointing for that race. Hopefully we're running that time, or come May 1st we're running. But we have British Indian pointing for that spot. She was recently shipped to Oakland to prepare for that race. And then obviously She Dares the Devil. The timing will make sense for her to come back there. So, we'll see how things play out and, what unfolds over the next week or two with all that's going on.
Just a couple of pedigree notes, too, on Bonnie South. She's by Munnings. She's out of the Tappet mare, who was winless, touched the star. And it just so happens that the decision was made, even before Bonnie South had done anything. Three straight covers by Munnings. Now, I'm going to have to ask Garrett about this. Very interesting to do this. They must have been, I don't know if they saw the baby and were thrilled, or there's a two-year-old filly named Sunpath, the full sister. Then there's now also a yearling who's unnamed, a colt. Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's two full siblings behind her.
Yeah, I think from a physical standpoint, Garrett's very high on both of them, so that's super encouraging, and hopefully, this filly, like I said, I mean, she's always been a good looking filly, but it's just like she's just really just growing right now. I mean, she's got plenty of leg on her, you know, she's got a nice deep girth, and she's a mile and a 16th was no problem. We're hoping a mile and an eighth, maybe even, you know, to Alabama or something. You know, she's a filly that could be a mile and a quarter filly in the Alabama, who knows. But she's definitely, if ridden right and gets a setup, she's a factor in the 3-0 filly division.
Well, for those that love to follow these families, the Judmont families, that dam, who was winless, happens to be a sister to the wonderful Mizwaki mare Etoile Montante that Bobby Frankel had at the end of her career when she came over from Europe. And she had won the Prix de la Forêt and then won, I don't know, two or three stakes. I remember her in the, she's got to be from, 2004, it looks like. Yeah, 2004. She came over at the end. She ran in the Matriarch in 2003, that Heat Hayes won, so they had the race surrounded and did Judmont, and then she won. Here we go, the La Cienegas. She was second in the Distaff, actually, at Churchill in the Turf Mile. She was third in the Just a Game behind Intercontinental. It's all Bobby all the time.
Yeah.
All Frankel. Then she ended her career in the Matriarch as well again the next year. And she was second Intercontinental. So, boy, if she didn't have to face her stablemates, she would have had an even a better career. It's Wild Montone. I love it. I'll have to go find a video of her. She was good. Let's shift our gears to the factor this. And I love Sean Bridgmahan on speed. And when the other speed, when Secretary of War wasn't there off the break, Brad, the scenario became very clear what looked to unfold. And that's exactly how it happened all the way around.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of question mark going into this race, I thought, from just kind of trying to break the race down. As opposed to the Derby and the Oaks, I thought this horse would get some pace pressure up front, which he's kind of shown if he can get that lead and clear off up the backside. He's a super dangerous horse. He'll keep going, and he's a really nice horse. We've had this horse nearly 2 years, and he just keeps getting better. And we thought a lot of him after we claimed him. We put him in stakes right away, and just kind of thought he was just kind of a lot of tread on the tire, and we kicked him out for the winter. That would have been two winters ago, and he responded well. He's come back. He's been a very consistent horse for us, and like you said, I mean, thought there was a horse that was put in there that was meant to be some pace pressure to the outside of us. And it looked, I actually watched the race with my assistant Ricky Giannini, and he watched as that horse missed the break, and I watched as Dot Matrix rode straight up in the gate. So I wasn't real happy the first couple furlongs into the races. Dot Matrix was completely eliminated at the start, but obviously it worked out well with factor this, getting to the front, getting where he's comfortable, and Sean did a great job of getting him to relax going up the backside. And he fit that horse extremely well. He's done a great job on that horse and rode him extremely well last year at Kentucky Downs in the mile and a half race. He ran a really good fourth that day, and probably just a touch longer than he really wants to go. But just a nice colt that's just really gotten better with time. Very, very honest horse.
He's a 5-year-old. He remains a horse. And
yeah, he is. I don't know why the last two times he has been entered, for some reason he's come up a gelding when we've asked for that correction, and I believe the stewards or the horse ideas has to get it approved with the jockey club. But he is still an intact male. I don't understand why that has happened, but he is an intact male.
Well, he's one of these horses that I remember when he was going back to when he was in New York, and this is not unusual. I mean, a horse like this, fully mature, 5-year-old, last year had a very solid year. I mean, you look at last year, he made 200,000, 3 wins and 8 starts, and, kept nice company. When he got beat, he was always, Brad, within, hailing distance of, horses like Zulu Alpha, for instance. So he's had a kind of a forward going look, and I thought this was a really good prime spot, and I was very pleased to get that 9-1. So that was all right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let me ask quickly about the, about that maiden winner too, early on the card.
Yeah. Yeah. The Commissioner Philly, very nice race. The Philly, Full of Run Racing, Dan Glick, great client from Louisville. That's, just fantastic owner. That's very passionate about the game, and he works to sell himself at times. And we found this filly. He found this filly last year, and she we had to back off of her when we first got her, just minor setback, and she's really taken off. She's a nice filly. We think she could have big year. And I'm not saying she has to run on the grass. She could be a filly. We can maybe flirt with running on the dirt here or there. She works fine on the dirt. Just thought we would get her around 2 turns when we started her. And, very pleased with how she ran the other day. And Sean did a great job figuring out a path from way outside. She drew way out and was able to save as much ground as she could going into the first turn, kind of, took command at the top of the lane. And it was a big effort, and hopefully, she'll get some black type at some point. Really, she's a filly that could get some black type later in the year.
Well, we included, obviously, the conversation about the Honeybee winner, She Dares the Devil. I should also mention, I'm glad I didn't reach out to you at the time, because, there was this big opportunity. But should also mention Night Ops, winning the Essex last week. Milady Curlin ran well in the Azari, settling for second. And the assorted other players here and there, New York and anywhere else.
Yeah, no, it's been a good run, and hopefully we keep it going somehow, some way. But, foremost, hopefully we can get everything back to order throughout the world, and, wait patiently and do our part and take care, just play by the rules, and as far as, staying at home when you're supposed to. And it's kind of tough being in the horse business, playing that, being able to, stay at home. So, the horses obviously need care, and they'll continue to get that, and hopefully everybody can stay safe.
Final question, too. Brad Cox with us. And, Brad, in terms of leaving the horses in New Orleans, opportunity till at least April 11th, monitoring what's going to happen back in Kentucky, what do you do that, in terms of this executional element of keeping horses where they are, basically, and maintaining, training, or sending some to Oaklawn? How much of that, where are you in those kinds of plans?
Well, right now, it's okay. I mean, everything's going to, work out. We're just kind of at the mercy of waiting for our stable. We're kind of waiting for Indiana or Churchill to open their backside to new horses. And I understand their concern, and, they're taking the right approach, or the approach they have to take. So, thankful that the Louisiana Race Commission and the Fairgrounds Churchill is allowing us to extend training there. It's, something that we need. Horses need to train, just to keep them mentally stable. That's going to work out for us. And, right now with the way you know, obviously Keeneland canceling, who knows when Churchill will resume racing. I know they want to race as bad as we want to race. So, you know, it's all going to work out. You know, just everyone's working with one another. And, you know, we do have horses at Keeneland, which is handy and nice. And I just made it back to Kentucky yesterday myself. So, you know, looking forward to, you know, this thing getting resolved. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but, you know, we just got to roll with it. And, you know, we'll be able to shuffle some horses from the fairgrounds to Roquan, and, you know, do what we have to do to make it work, given the circumstances.
What are you doing with the horses in New York?
They're just training right along. We have a set up there. And, you know, I think next is it Sunday or Monday, we're going to 6 days a week. But as of right now, we're just, you know, training right along, and going to kind of see how things play out over the next few weeks.
Very good. Well, Brad, congratulations to everybody involved in the three wins, Bonnie South, Factor This, and Wells by You, and the Maiden as well. Let's keep everybody safe, your team and everybody. Congratulations on a great season in New Orleans, and we will we'll talk soon. I can't say we'll see you soon. I don't know when exactly we'll see you, but we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Stephen. We'll take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
You got it. Brad Cox, everybody. Let's take a break. When we come back, Alex Waltrip's going to join us. And we'll get some Q&A going with Alex about the executional elements and the support mechanisms that are in place, being put in place for, you know, virtually all the different, you know, areas of concern. The barns, the horses, the owners, the racetracks, their staffs, how are we going to look after everybody? And, you know, how long do we think we can maintain the operating scenario that we're working with right now, with this handful of tracks that are fairly miraculously being able to run. Today, by the way, speaking of running, your options today, Fauner Park is going to run Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Chris Katulak and his team, they're ready. And Will Rogers Dance, Claremore, Oklahoma. And if you haven't looked at the cards, take a look at the cards. They're nice full fields. Two very good cards today. And tomorrow as well. And then Gulfstream back on Wednesday. And, you know, the handful of tracks keep everybody occupied. Alex Waldrop's going to join us next. Johnny D in a little bit. Expecting to talk to Reed McGahee, too, after the son of the Hall of Famer records his first win. Much, much more. Stay with us at the races. Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred racing at Sam Houston continues through March 28th with the March 21st Texas Champions Day on the horizon. The best Texas breds in the state or anywhere come together over $500,000 in purse money. Tuesday afternoon racing starts on March 10th. The 12% takeout on all multi-leg wagers has made SHRP the most popular destination for horse players this winter. SHRP.com, Sam Houston Race Park. Follow Sam Houston on Twitter as well. SHRP.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website.